Thank you for the word of God that is able to save our souls. And I will commit this time to you. Ask you to bless our minds to understand your word, walk therein, be changed thereby into your image. We give the praise, the honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." Now look over at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 19. Says, "The woman saith unto him," this is the Samaritan woman, "the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father." So you see the problem that he had with the Samaritans back in Luke. They worshipped in Samaria. And he was going to Jerusalem. That's why I didn't receive him. So then John and James says, "Look, well, let's call down fire on them." So he says, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now note now when Luke he said to John and James, "You don't know what spirit you're of." Then he says here in John that God is a spirit and you worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not whether or not you have to go into the spirit, but it's a matter of what spirit you're of when you go into the spirit. So today we're talking about what spirit are you in? What spirit are you in? See, the Bible is not designed for you to do things out of the Bible and get accepted. It's designed to change the spirit you walk in. You can have all the things in the Bible down packed and still be in the wrong spirit. You can have a concordance, a Bible, tapes, books, pamphlets, leaflets. You can go to every convocation, every shut-in, every revival meeting. You can go to this church service. You can go to Bible study. You can have personal study time. You can hang out with other Christians. You can talk Bible from sun up to sundown. You can pray all day, fast, anoint yourself with oil, talk in tongues all week long, and still be in the wrong spirit. If you're in the wrong spirit, it makes no difference what you do because your spirit is wrong. So unless your spirit is changed, you can do all the things contained in the Word of God, do all the right things that it says to do, speak all the right words, say all the stuff that's necessary to be said, and still be in the wrong spirit. So what the devil is, he's the wrong spirit. Remember when he quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus, he quoted the Bible correctly, but it's the wrong spirit. So it's not about who's saying what and what you're doing and what you're saying. What spirit are you in? Is it the spirit of God or is it some unholy spirit trying to act like it's in when it's not? You can't walk in God's word in the spirit of lust, in the wrong spirit. So you can fool yourself to make yourself believe you're all right. But as long as you're in that spirit, you don't even begin to understand what the word of God is all about because you got the wrong spirit. This is why people will come around the word of God trying to make the word of God succumb to their spirit. See, I got the wrong spirit, but I'm coming in around the word, trying to get the word to now change over to my spirit so that I can operate in my spirit that I have and yet the word work for me. It will not happen. You'll deceive yourself forever in that realm. You got a spirit that's wrong. You know, I'm trying to get the Bible to confirm my wrong spirit. And that's the door to delusion right there. I got the wrong spirit trying to get the word of God to operate in my filthy, deluded, determined spirit that's going to do it like I want to do it and still be just as crazy as all outdoors. You have to change in this thing. You're being made over into a spiritual being that's just like God. But to operate with God, your spirit can't be a spirit of delusion and fantasy. It's got to be reality and truth. That's why it says, first of all, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit of man is the center of worship. The soul of man must be full of the truth. So the spirit is where you worship God. Your soul must be full of truth to get to him, though. Because God's soul, God has a soul. His soul is full of truth. So God's spirit uses his soul to reflect God's personality, just like our soul reflects ours. So if God is a spirit interacting with us through his soul in truth, but yet our soul is full of fantasies and lies, guess what? When his soul approaches us to interact by his spirit with us, then our souls being full of fantasy and lies will back away from him, because you coming into me with that spirit coming through your personality, my spirit is now coming about with all kinds of lies and fantasies and make-believe and religious hogwash. So you draw near to me and I push you back because you're a threat to me. I'm in the wrong spirit. Your soul reflects what spirit you're in. That's all it does. Whatever spirit you are, your personality coming through your soul shows it for what it really is. You can take a million baths. You can bathe every day for hours, put all kinds of cologne and perfume on, fix your hair, put a suit on, put a dress on, put on all the Mary McFadden you want to put on, all the Anne Klein too, all the junk you want to put yourself on, look good to the outer eye, but your spirit is full of lust. See, everybody knows when they interact with the spirit if they're spiritual. That's why Jesus said, you know not what spirit you're of. You're standing here and you're quoting things out of the Bible. You're quoting what Elijah did. And you want to kill all these people because they won't receive us. I didn't come to kill people. I came to save people. You don't know what spirit you're of. What spirit were they of? Religion. Wanting to have somebody look at them as great, powerful men. That's why they didn't say, Lord, you call down fire from heaven. What they said was, shall we call down fire from heaven? What makes you believe you got the power to call down fire from heaven? But what they did, they tried to get Jesus to say, yeah. Because they knew if he said, yeah, the power would come for them to do it. That's how people try to do God all the time. Try to get God to say, yeah, to what I want. Therefore, it empowers me to do it. All the while, the wrong spirit operates. So I make myself believe God said, yeah. Now walking my crazy old spirit out there, all the while deluded and deceived in myself. See, God is trying to change the spirit we're in. He wants us to walk in truth. But as long as you stay in a make-believe fantasy realm, it all will just be one big hocus-pocus magic show that you walk in, that you made up. And you walk around in this spiritual-looking wisp. Ghostly wisp, just weird, not knowing that you're making all of it up in your own mind. The spirit of truth makes you normalize and you deal with reality just like it is. You call a spade a spade. But what we have in churches and the religious community is a lot of people being taken over by a bunch of spirits and then making God, they believe, now you have to come down here, God, and conform to my spirit. I'm not going to transform to yours now. I'm not going to have my mind renewed to be like you. I got a spirit I walk in. Now you come down here. I command you, genie, to come down here and conform to my world, because I'm not going to change and be like you. And that's what the religious community is doing right now. They're making up a God that's like themselves. The Bible says if you make an idol, those that worship the idol are like the idol. They make it up, first of all. They paint it up, get it fixed up, but they want it and say, no, that's good. That's God right there. And then you're just like that. It's the way it's always been, the way it will always be. Look over at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, and I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. So it says it's written in your law. Remember, it's not Jesus' law, it's your law. It's your law, because the law is not made for a righteous man. I'm a righteous man. This is your law, because you're an unrighteous man. So it is written in your law that two have to bear witness. I bear witness, and the Father with the confirming signs and gifts bears witness. So you have two undeniable witnesses. I'm telling you, and the power is backing me up. Now what you going to do? You know their response to that, we got to kill him. Why? Because they were of the wrong spirit. It's what spirit you're of that determines whether or not you receive the word. You can sit right here in the wrong spirit, and this is not benefiting you not one iota, because your spirit is wrong. Your spirit is a spirit that loves the world. You can sit around the gospel, but it's just a matter of time before you got to get out of here. You can't stay up under this, because your spirit is not aligned with God's spirit. God is a revealer of the truths of your life. He reveals everything about you layer by layer, begins to peel it off. Now, he gets to something that spirit that you're walking in, you don't want to give up. That spirit you're in, and you in covenant, will have to get away. So you'll see some people can stay for a while because you didn't get to the thing that they were bound by and they liked it. Then other people stay a little bit longer because, you know, he didn't hit it yet. But when you hit the thing that they're in and they want it still, I don't like that. All right, that ain't right. Why? Because they're in that spirit. See, it's one thing for a demon to be in you. It's another thing for you to be into the demon. See, I'm in the demon. I love this thing. Me and this demon are in covenant. I love him and he loves me. And now you're talking about us, the thing I've joined myself to and become one spirit with. See, when you become one spirit with a demon, you cannot separate you from that demon. So that's the spirit you're in. See, if you're in that spirit, whenever somebody gets to that thing, buddy, I got to get away from that, because that just revealed me for what I am. If you're in a demon on one accord, your mind and its mind think in unison. You can't separate your thoughts from its thoughts. When it thinks, you think. When it breathes, you breathe. When it eats, you eat. Where it goes, you go. In unison with that thing. That's why if you bring up any spirit that a person is in covenant with, if that spirit does not like it, that spirit won't like you who said it. Neither will it stay around you who said it, but it will try to manage you if you let it. See, if you let it manage you, you're a fool. Because a person in the wrong spirit sees you as an adversary, but tries to act like your friend and see where your weakness is to get advantage over you. That's the devil playing with you, trying to find out how to conquer you. That's why so many people trying to go hand in hand, arm in arm with the wrong spirit. Talking about, yeah, the Lord. We're trying to save some people. You're walking with the devil, about to put a dagger in your back. Because you're still unable to break free from the bondage of demonic spirits. Still trying to have a friend down here, an acquaintance, a relationship. And there's the devil over you and people inside of people ruling you, and you don't even know it. See, the devil's come down now. They're not up in the atmosphere somewhere. They're walking around in people now. So you can't afford to walk around just lollygagging around thinking everybody's for you. They like me. What you want to be liked for? My friend, I got a friend on my job. What you want to have friends for? See, God, you don't see nowhere in the Bible that he tells you to have friends. You can't find that. You can't make friends of the world. Because the world is the enemy of God. It's the way it is. That's why your senses must be exercised to see spirits. You can discern good and evil looking at spirits. And see, what will happen to you if you don't make the transition over because you have a spirit you walk in, what God will do, he'll just loose you to that spirit. And then you'll see that big crowbar and that hammer
and that baseball bat come out, and that thing will beat your head in. Then you finally say, you know what? I don't think this is God. See, he had to, Paul said, I had to turn him over to Satan for what? Destruction of the flesh so their souls could be saved. I told you on Wednesday, the Bible said that God's not about you being happy. You don't care about you being happy. You need to get that out your mind. If you're seeking after happiness, you're in the flesh. You can't find one of the fruit of the Spirit being happiness. It ain't in there. Love, joy, peace, happiness, goodness, gentleness. See, that ain't, you don't see no happiness in that no one. God give you joy, but joy is spiritual. He says, I give you joy that the world didn't give you and that the world cannot take away. Joy is a constant, but happiness is an emotion. So you can be happy on Friday, sad on Saturday, happy on Sunday, sad on Monday. It'd be just like a yo-yo. What causes that? I'm still looking for the world to supply my need. I'm still looking for something in the sight realm and the worldly realm to supply some kind of a happiness, because I'm not willing to be transformed into a vessel that carries the joy of God inside. I'm looking for happiness outside as a replacement. Since I don't want the love of God, the Spirit of God to engender love in me, lust in me has me trying to seek after being looked at, liked, and appreciated down here. Still looking for the flesh to be stroked. So lust replaces the love. I'm in the wrong spirit. And see, if you're in lust, all you're getting ready to do is be deceived. Because lust to drag you, I'm going to tell you, this is the Lord. And have you just going off the deep end in lust. Greed is a spirit that replaces the prosperity of God that first comes spiritually and works itself out to materialism the way God has designed it, not the way men tell you can get it. So if you're greedy, you'll be sitting up somewhere trying to give 10 cents of every dollar to a church, thinking you're going to get back out of that thing a 100-fold return. And the spirit of greed has led you off into a delusion. The wrong spirit. Preachers preaching the wrong spirit all the time. I listened to the guy on the radio yesterday. He spent about a half an hour trying to make people believe that the Holy Ghost baptism comes at the time you're saved and you don't have to talk in tongues. And he was just ripping the scripture apart. And everybody in the church was saying, amen, that's right. That's right, amen, Baptist preacher who don't believe in it. And everybody in front of him don't believe in it. So they spend their time trying to prove it's not right. Wrong spirit. You can't come to the Bible trying to prove what you're saying is right or wrong. You got to come and receive it just like it is. And I got to change to be transformed to what it says. I can't try to prove from the Bible itself that I'm right. See, that's the wrong spirit that you came in with. You can take the Bible and make it say anything. The wrong spirit will take the Bible and twist it and pervert it to make it conform to what my Baptist doctrine tells me is true. See, you can't come as a Baptist. Baptist born, Baptist bred, when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. You can't find nowhere in the Bible that God said to become a Baptist or a Methodist, Episcopalian, Word of Church, Word of Faith member. You can't find one denominational delineation in that Bible. Not one. Find somewhere where you see a denomination in the Bible. Why? Because denominations are man-made. The only thing you can become as a real Christian is a member of the body of Christ and the universal church organism, not the church organization. The church organization is devil engendered, devil created. The church organism is God birthed. It's a living organism, not an organization that man's mind thought up. If you get in the organization, you're going to have the wrong spirit, I guarantee you. Because you're going to have faithfulness to that organization, and you're walking the wrong spirit just knowing you're right. A lot of people come in here coming out of different cults. And they come in with the wrong spirit. And they say, well, I got saved, and don't realize you got the wrong spirit, though. Good you got saved, but you got a ways to go to get out of the spirit you're in. It's like people sitting here can't even praise God. Just, well, this is how y'all do it, but, you know, I just don't. It ain't how we do it. When the joy of the God is inside of you, it's something in you that's going to come online. It's going to make you loose. Amen. When you see somebody all bowed and tied up in a knot, it's a spirit that's got them. Well, I'm just quiet by nature. No, you and that devil are quiet by nature. The joy of the Lord is what gives you your strength. You want strength to be strong, you got to get loose. Ah, now, let's go. See, the devil will have you in the wrong spirit, and you're just walking around in it. And you can't try to do what I'm talking about. You got to get your mind transformed to get loosed. See, as long as you have your mind still conformed to the world, you'll be in the wrong spirit. You'll say all the right things. Everything everybody else is saying, you'll say the same stuff. You'll be at everything, every meeting, every picnic, every little gathering we have, the Christmas party. Wrong spirit still walking in, the wrong spirit still just walking on. We have the Christmas party. We going on a trip. The church going on a trip. Praise the Lord. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. The wrong spirit still. And just walking around in that spirit just like a whirlwind and cannot see it. Some people you can preach it off of them. Other people got to have that old baseball bat clanged upside their head until it's beat out of them. It's like your kid. You tell your kid, look, boy, you need to stop being so selfish. You need to stop doing this, that, and the other. And the kid can say, you know what? They can come to themselves. You know what? I need to stop doing this. Now, one kid will just succumb to what you said. Another kid, you just got to whip them until they stop. That's the same way church folks are. God can tell some people and they just humble down. Okay, I stop. Other folks, he just got to just wham them out. You know, what is it based on? It's based on one thing, your willpower. You strong will, you got to break them. But if you got a will to just either say, all right, God, okay, all right, I'll stop. I will never do it again, I'm sorry. But see, people, I don't see no, you know, I don't see no difference between me and you. All right. I told you now, and it's up to you now. It's on you. I just take my hands off. I don't. See, because it's your will. Some people can break easy. Some people got to be ground to powder. Say, fall on me, you'll be broken. Might hurt you a little bit. You'll be broken. But I'll mend you back up. You'll be okay. But if I fall on you, Jesus said, I'll just have to grind you to powder. Till you just sitting there, you don't even know your name. You just writing in the dirt with your finger. You don't even, you know, at your lips. You know? I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't care. People say, look, just leave me alone. Let me be. I'm through. I'm undone. Why? Because you would not let him do the job on you. You can willfully lay down on the table to be operated on, let the surgeon do the job. Or you can have to be drugged in there and beat down to let him get to you. My choice is just to do what he says, hopefully, and let him just go the easy route. But some folks just don't want to hear that. They just got to go through. It's like this guy I was talking to when I first got saved. Well, about a year or two after I got saved. He said, you know, man, I fell into this trap. I was studying the Bible with my girlfriend. This girl I knew wasn't really my girlfriend. We studied the Bible over her house. So I went over there one day with the Bible, lay on her bed studying the Bible. The next thing I know, we were butt naked fornicating. So no, man, don't run that on me. I mean, I ain't just been saved a year, but I ain't no fool. You did what you wanted to do. Stop trying to talk all that Bible talk. What you over that girl have that time life for anyway? See, people full of lust do all kinds of stuff and try to fix it up. This is my brother in the law. You a brother in the law? Lie. Y'all full of lust and you're doing the same old nasty, degenerate stuff you were doing in the world with a Bible. See, you're in the wrong spirit. Especially, I've seen a lot of women do this. They're in the wrong spirit. And some old airheaded dude in the church can tell them anything. You know, you need to. Yes, dude. I'm thinking, man, you believe that? What he say? Who make you think he's saved? What really makes you think that people are saved? He said he was. The devil says he's saved. Like I had a girl, she was telling me the other day, she said, well, one thing I know now. I know this guy who went to a healing meeting. He was talking to a particular minister. He said, this minister is a healer. This man came back to church. He was healed of AIDS. Healed. He was in homosexuality. He had AIDS. He healed now. So I know that guy is a healer. You know, and she was just almost dogmatic about it, trying to make me, don't you believe it? I don't know. I can't prove it. I don't really think he is, because he's kind of wacky to me, in my opinion. No, man. I know a brother that's been healed of AIDS. I know this to be a fact. He came to our church. He's healed of it. He had it. Now it's gone.
I said, let me ask you a question. How do you know he's healed of AIDS?
That's what he said.
I said, what proof is that to you that he's healed? Because he said it. She said, well, I really don't have no proof.
You know what? That is right, ain't it?
I mean, but she was dogmatic at first until you came to us and realized, he just told me that. I don't know. I can't prove that. No, I can't even document. I have no blood test, no results.
That's the way people are.
People will grab hold of junk that somebody said and just walk off a cliff believing it.
Man, I got to have some tangible evidence. I can't be believing all this stuff.
That's just common sense. When you get in the right spirit, you're not quick to believe all this stuff.
You say, well, look, Lord, I don't know what this is. I have to just wait and see. You know,
they say it's the Lord, but I can't prove it the Lord. So, you know, to each his own. Y'all go over there. If you go over there and it's the Lord, come back and get me. If you believe it, go over there. And if it's the Lord, then come and say, hey, it's the Lord. Come on. I might go then. But while y'all go over in the deep end not knowing, leave me out of that because I don't know.
See, the wrong spirit will have you so deceived and so weird that you can believe anything. Anything that somebody says, you'll believe. The wrong spirit can be so bad that it'll have you sitting here talking, hear me talk about the wrong spirit. You will be in a wrong spirit and not even know it's you that's being talked about.
You'll be thinking, yeah, that's right. You're looking at somebody. I told you. And it's you. All the while it's you. Looking around, talking,
that's right. I told you. Look at that.
And all the while you in the wrong spirit.
God don't sit you in front of nobody talking to you about somebody else.
Why would he have you come here to talk to you about somebody else and he has you sitting here?
That's stupid. He talks to you about you.
This is the point nobody else said, I told you. Well, why are you telling me? Because he's talking to both of us right now.
Now, what you told him was true about me, but it's got to be something still dealing with you because you're sitting here beside me.
You can't use what somebody else does wrong as your barometer for you.
Well, see, I told you. Yeah, but what about you?
See, you don't. The wrong spirit will have you so dizzy that you'll be out here just in a whirlwind of delusion and thinking you just got it all figured out.
It'll mess you up.
Jesus said, you know not spirit. No, what spirit you're of. Look further along there in John chapter 8 to verse 31. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now look at this. The truth will make you free. It will do it. It will have you free to freely express your spirit through your soul because your soul is full of truth. See, as long as you have any idolatry in your soul, by nature and definition, idolatry must mean that lies are bred in your soul. It's got to be because an idol is a lying God. You made that lying God preeminent, so now you're listening to lies in your mind, in your soul, instead of the truth. That's why the word is given to re-record and reprogram and reformat your soul that it will be put full of truth and not lies. Now your spirit can come through to a soul full of truth and deal with God in spirit and in truth. But as long as you got another God in your soul, an idol that you have down here, is going to pervert the expression of God's word coming in and pervert the expression of you going out. See, a truthful person is a person that you can walk with no bondages, not trying to hold on to you, cling to you, control you, because they're in the truth. But when you're in fantasies and lies, you're still trying to hold on to somebody, be jealous of somebody, have animosity, because that's all in you. So there's nothing from without a man that can defile a man. It's in you, in your soul that does it. The devil is a soulless creature. He defiles the soul of man to stop God from coming in and from stopping the person's spirit from expressing themselves out. That's why the truth has to reprogram and totally redesign the soul to
to deal with the spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he's the spirit of truth that comes to, first of all, reveal the truth to you, have you submit to it and redesign you to be full of the truth, and then interact with the truth of God through you. See, but the Holy Ghost can't deal with people who are not full of truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth, so he was full of light. Here we are in the wrong spirit because we got so many fantasies and lies and make-believe situations in us that it just puts out the truth, and we're still bound to the wrong spirit operating in our souls. That's why a person that's like this will be trying to be in church, but they look like an animated cartoon character. And that's why they seem kind of dizzy around the word, kind of dingy, like, you know, you try to tell them something. That's right, you know, like they're almost drunk. If you're like this, your mind will have a hard time trying to really process the word. It'd be like, I hear what you're saying, but I can't, I don't know why, you know, from here through my mind to down here where I need to believe in my heart, it's like it's this filter that has the word kind of, gets kind of gray and shaky and misty-like. And I don't know why I can't get it, because you're still an idolater somewhere. Something you love more than God. So it's not full submission to the truth yet. And all you can do is try to dodge it, try to go around and make it work your way. And you're walking in the spirit. See, people walking in the spirit don't think I'm going to say anything to you, because the spirit you walk in going to find you out anyway. The spirit you walk in is going to all come to pass. It'll blow it for you. It's going to mess you up, because the devil don't love nobody. The devil got a plan to set everybody up to destroy them. That's his plan. So if you don't just yield to God and come straight, it's just a matter of time for this thing going to take your head off with a hatchet. Spirits are at work all the time down here. That's why sincerity of heart and having no guile in you will get you in. Remember Jesus said that about Nathanael? Here is a man in whom there is no guile. No what? No deceit. He's truthful. He coming straight to me. But when you got that thing in you, there's a little bit, man, if you don't come and get it out of you, he'll let you go through and around and up and around like a roller coaster until you finally say, look, let me off of this thing. It's the wrong spirit. The devil tries to come in amidst the people of God trying to look like the right spirit. But the devil can't change the nature of what he is. Full of hatred, guile, bitterness, resentment. He can't change that. Look over at John 14:15. Jesus speaking, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Why couldn't that preacher receive the Holy Ghost baptism and speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit? Because he was in the fantasy of religion. The spirit of truth comes on those who desire only the truth. As long as you're an idolater, you can't be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It won't happen. When you lay everything down and you want God, then the Holy Ghost, the spirit of truth, will come on those who desire truth. Where? In the inward parts. See, you want the truth outside of you, spoken around you like I'm speaking to you now, but I don't want the truth inside of me, because I got an idol there that I want more than God. So the Holy Ghost can't baptize you. He only baptizes Jesus. When he sees you want Jesus alone, then he'll baptize you. But when you want something else, he'll say, no, hold it. Can't do that. You could even be bound by the devil, but you have a steadfastness inside you that wants the Lord. He'll baptize you then, because he knows you want to come out. But when you still have a covenant cut with another God, there's no need to try to fill you with the Holy Ghost, because you're not even wanting the Holy Ghost, because he's the spirit of truth. You're in covenant with a lying devil trying to seek after the spirit of truth. Now, when you let that lying devil go, then the spirit of truth will come on you. And people spend all this time trying to disprove the Holy Ghost. You know, you can see all through Acts that the Holy Ghost was an experience after salvation. You don't even have to try to see that. The apostles hadn't been saved, you're saying, when he said, go and tarry until you receive power from on high. It's after salvation that the Holy Ghost comes on a person. He can only come on Christ, and he can only come on you after you receive Christ. People say, well, you receive Christ and the Holy Ghost simultaneously. They're one and the same. It's a difference between the Spirit of the Lord and the Holy Ghost. Jesus is a spirit in and of himself, but he's a spirit that's baptized in the Holy Ghost. A whole different parameter. You got to have Jesus filled with the Spirit. That's why you have to have the Word first to change you over into his image, and then the Spirit will fill the image of Christ in you. It won't work any other way. If you got some other God before you other than the true and living God, you know the Holy Ghost cannot fill you up to full power, because there's something there to stop him and block him. There's a lie somewhere. There's a fantasy somewhere. There's a make-believe characterization somewhere that's blocking the Holy Spirit from having free access. He's the Spirit of truth. And if you walk in another spirit, you can't get it. And you can't come in here overnight and change. That's not going to happen. Don't come in overnight trying to go way down the road and do some spiritual thing when you know you haven't changed. Why are you going to come in on Monday, out of the world on Monday, and then say, the Lord told me I need to get married Friday? You crazy. Why don't you let all that go and get yourself right? Well, no, see, the Lord ain't nothing. The Lord nothing. You need to shut up and sit down and stop all that Lord stuff and get yourself right. Because you can't get washed clean overnight. You can be in church for years and not realize I'm messed up. So what will happen? Baseball bat, crowbar. Hammer, chisel, nails, whatever. Now you see? Yeah. I think I see it now. See, well, why go that route? When you can just sit down at the feet of Jesus, like Mary, and let the Word do the work on you. Now you make yourself a tabernacle of truth, your life will go on automatic. You haven't even tried. It'll just happen. Because the Spirit will lead you through your life. But as long as you're walking in fantasy and make-believe, you can set up anything and make God conform to it. It's the wrong spirit leading you. And believe me, we live in a whole smorgasbord of spirits out here now. Anything you want. You don't believe it? I got an article right here from last week's paper. They're doing a series on homosexuals in the church. Last week's weekend paper. Gays and God. That's the name of the article. Here's a little excerpt from it. It says, a lifelong member of Atlanta's Redeemer Lutheran Church, a man by the name of Bob Gibbling, 47, said he sensed in his early teens that he was sexually attracted to other boys. He never heard a discussion of homosexuality or a sermon against it, but felt the church would disapprove. I went through a long struggle wanting to change, he said. I prayed, I did everything imaginable, but it wasn't working. I was really at the point of great despair. Over time, he said, I began to understand that it could be God didn't want me to change, that I was gay for a reason, and that was part of God's plan. So now he's in a church that accepts it. He's fine. Wrong spirit. I don't want to fight my way out of the spirit, so I just have God conform to the spirit. It says, many gay and lesbian Christians in traditional churches said they have spent time worshiping in churches affiliated with the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, a denomination founded by and for open homosexuals, but appreciate congregations made up mostly of heterosexual singles, couples, and families. Carol Cornelius, who was married to a man for 23 years before realizing she was a lesbian, said she remains a part of the Catholic Church despite its disapproval of homosexual activity because of hope. Her church, she said, is part of who I am. I can't imagine leaving the shrine. Now, she pastors the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception as a lesbian, and it's a church full of lesbians and homosexual Catholics. So you can fix it up any way you want. You can fix it up any way you want to. If you're greedy, they got greedy churches, proud churches, lesbian, homosexual churches. You can conform God to any lie you want to inside of you. Wrong spirit, not wanting to come away from it, I have to make God conform to it. I'm telling you, you can make a fool out of yourself down here, and then one day wake up finding yourself in hell
talking about my pastor is a brilliant orator. Well, I hope you like the speeches he giving in hell. What difference does it make if he's a brilliant orator? He's standing next to you in hell. You know, but you know you did speak well, though. I enjoyed your messages. Standing next to him in hell. And see, now the demons are coming out of the woodwork. They're coming out with these spirits all around us. Story out of Mississippi about a young boy. A teenager accused of fatally stabbing his mother and gunning down two classmates testified Thursday that he was driven by demons who told him he would be nothing if he didn't kill. Excuse me. A sobbing Luke Woodham, 17, said he remembered getting a butcher knife and seeing his mother's bloody body. All the while, his head ringing with instructions from his satanic mentor, fellow teenager Grant Boyette. Investigators said the 19-year-old Boyette led a cult-like group of teenagers who plotted to kill students at Pearl High School. Several members of the group, including Boyette, faced conspiracy charges. I remember I woke up that morning and I'd seen demons that I always saw when Grant told me to do something, Woodham said. They said I was nothing and I would never be anything if I didn't get to that school and kill those people. Woodham is on trial in the slaying of his mother, Mary Woodham, who was found dead in her bedroom October 1st, the same day he allegedly killed two classmates and wounded seven others at his school. He will stand trial next week in the school shootings. Woodham's lawyers say he was under Boyette's control and not responsible for his actions. A defense medical expert testified that Woodham suffered from a variety of psychological problems. It's my opinion that as a result of the vulnerability of this very psychologically disturbed young man, Grant Boyette was able to exploit him, said Dr. Michael Jepson, a forensic psychologist from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Breaking down in tears under aggressive questioning from prosecutors, Woodham said he recalled getting the knife and the pillow when walking into his mother's room. He said he could hear Boyette's voice in his head. I just closed my eyes and fought with myself because I didn't want to do any of it, he said. When I opened my eyes, my mother was lying in her bed, dead. Woodham said he befriended Boyette in January 1997 after Boyette cast a spell from a satanic book. Woodham said he believed the spell led to a teenager being run over by a car and killed. We started a satanic group, and through the hate I had in my heart, I used it to try and get vengeance on people and to do what he told me to do, Woodham said. He said Boyette assigned him demons to make sure he followed orders, but he didn't testify that Boyette specifically ordered his mother's death. Boyette and Lucas Thomas, a 16-year-old authority said was a member of the cult, appeared in court but declined to testify. Both said they had been advised to invoke their Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. If convicted of killing his mother, Woodham could get life imprisonment that is also the maximum for the school shootings. So the demons are on the front page in the newspaper now. They just, and people trying, well, he's psychologically impaired or he has a problem with his life growing up. No, he just told you what happened. But people in the world still don't want to believe the evidence and the obvious. The boy was demon possessed. He's telling you face to face, I had demons, I saw demons. The devil in me was driving me. And he's trying to find any other thing to believe other than that. Why? Because they're under the sway of the devil themselves. They're in the world of the world and the devil's driving them. And to believe that demons do something would mean the devil is exposed. So therefore, we got to shut this down. Why Jesus casting out devils openly became an offense, because the demons and the Pharisees, the scribes and the Romans knew that this is an open exposure of what we're under. We got to kill him. Wrong spirit in covenant with the devil cannot fellowship with God. That's why people try to come dragging back in the church in here after thinking, you know, like everything's okay. You know, people leave out of the church. I got no problem with that. You can come back. I don't care. But if it's the wrong spirit, don't try to drag back in, trying to look like you're godly when you're the devil. Don't do it, because all you're going to get is this word going to go upside your head and you're going to be gone again. See, folks out there, I meet folks who have left this church and people who have left church as in a universal realm. They know that they ran from God, but you're trying to make it look like they're all right still. Buddy, you are not all right still. You messed up. Don't try to fix it up. Don't try to paint a picture of being okay. You are a rebel against God, so therefore you mean bad for me.
If I walk with God, you're rebelling against God. How can you and me walk together unless we be agreed? You got to put a dagger in my back, man. Don't try to go smile in my face like all of us saved and Christian. No, man, all of us ain't saved and Christian. No, it ain't that way. If you still subjected to devils yourself, you will be in fellowship with devils yourself too. And it's trying to make it some kind of Christian activity. No, buddy, you're still in covenant with the devil. You need to break off with them. How can they ever come to the light and really be saved if you're still submitting yourself to that spirit they walk in? You got to have a standard that you stand for. But being rejected and downtrodden and lowly myself, I don't want nobody not to like me. So I don't want to stir up nothing like that. I'll make everybody okay. Well, go to hell with them then. See, there's a standard of righteousness that must be maintained. Everybody who wants to walk with God will come to the light. If you don't come to the light, it's because your deeds are evil. You hate the light. And you're trying to operate in a way to put out the light. Because the wrong spirit will put out the light if it can. That's why you got to make a strong stand for God and against evil. Look at this story. Pittsburgh twins dead after father lost it. A Pennsylvania man bludgeoned his 5-year-old twins to death with a sledgehammer because they were slow in getting ready for daycare. Police said, "I just lost it," police quoted Vincent Spick, 37, is saying. He was jailed on homicide charges. Spick called police in the Pittsburgh suburb of Findlay Township and said, "I've just killed my children." According to police, Spick, cellular phone in hand, was waiting for investigators in front of his house. Kids were slow getting ready for daycare. He takes a sledgehammer and beats them to death. See, when spirits rise up in you and take you over, you cannot not do what they say because you're in covenant with them. And get the wrong spirit out of me, because when that thing makes its move, you will do what it says. How could Hitler get a whole nation to kill 6 million people? How could those people in Bougainville, Treblinka, Auschwitz gas 6 million people to death and not even flinch? They were in that spirit. They subjected themselves to the spirit of Hitler preaching to them. He had loudspeakers all over the country all day just preaching his dogma. Until the people became brainwashed by it. You can fellowship with somebody in the wrong spirit and have you a stupid fool listening to the stupid mess they're telling you, all because you have no identity in Christ for yourself. Some of you women need to leave these idiot guys alone. You can't see the guy's an idiot. Listen to him. "Well, I just want somebody to fellowship." Fellowship with the Lord. Until you get your mind clear. You know when your mind is messed up, you know better than anybody else. So what makes you think you can even think right to even know what to do? Know where you are. "I'm messed up still. I'll just stay before the Lord and pray and fast it. I'll get taught at the word and I'll just stay here until the Lord clears my mind out. And I go on to the next phase." Stop trying to get ahead of him. God deals with you where? Right where you are. If you stay humble, he'll take you progressively through the steps of deliverance. But when you try to get in front of him, you got a long road to hoe. Too many people come to church thinking they know what they don't know. You don't understand, this is a spiritual world out here, man. These demons have existed for centuries, eons. You think they can't slick one of us? This ain't no proud high walk when you're talking about what you know and quoting a bunch of Bible like all these folks doing. Man, you got to stay lowly, meek, and humble, and shut up. Because the devil is a brilliant strategist. One of the people I admire more than anybody that I know is the devil. Because the devil is a brilliant strategist. He's brilliant. His mind is breathtakingly strategic. He'll make it look like he's a fool in order to deceive you. The devil's smart enough to look like a fool to draw you in. You think you're taking advantage of a fool. All the while he's sitting back coy and waiting on you. "He don't know what's going on, fool." Yeah, all right. When he lowered that jackhammer on your head, you're going to find that he ain't that big of a fool. That's why you got to walk circumspectly, because the days are evil. You see in these newspaper articles, the devil's taking people over now, taking them over and out. Therefore, I got to be able to see down here now. And see, if you walk around here in the wrong spirit yourself, guess what? You're already in darkness yourself. You're going to have spirits and leftover remnants of the world in you, and those areas of your mind are darkened. You cannot see the devil in those areas where you walk in the wrong spirit. So the wrong spirit sitting right in front of you, and somebody telling you, don't you see this? This is crazy. I don't see it. What? Looks fine to me. Because you're in the same spirit. Two can't walk together unless there be what? Agree. You gotta be in the same spirit you walk with. It's impossible not to be. Now look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Real fast. We'll wrap it up. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Talking about the Lord. But of the ministration of death written and engraved in the stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How should not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So here we have it. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Jesus said in John 6:63 that the flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that quickens. So it's a spiritual thing God is after, not a bunch of performances, not a bunch of letter. He wants the Spirit in us to be right. In the right spirit, you'll be able to see and walk out your life with God. But if you got a wrong spirit in you, you're going to be able to be deceived every time. Because the spirit in you will lead you to your own delusion and your own destruction. That's why it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because they received not the love of the truth, God sent them a strong delusion. What did he turn them over to? The demons they worshiped. The Bible says that we worship the host of heaven when we don't worship God. The angels in the heavenly is what's being worshiped. All by the demons in you that are cohabitating with you, turning your affections toward the demonic elements of the fallen angels in the heavenly. That's what controls the mind. It's controlled from the upper atmosphere by the fallen angels, covenanting with the demons in the person that they won't let go. So they basically just guide you through your life, thinking you're serving the Lord. All the while, led by the demonic elements, the spirit world is leading you, but it's the wrong spirit you're walking in. This is why you gotta stay in this word, make your focus single, just Jesus, your eye be full of light, of your mind be single, until God transforms you out of here. By changing the spirit you're in. You can't get the wrong spirit out of a right relationship with the Lord. It's not going to happen. If you stay committed and communing with him, you will have the right spirit in you. That's why David said when he had fallen with Bathsheba, renew the right spirit in me. I got the wrong spirit. That's what's wrong. That's why I fell for it. Put the right spirit back in me. Renew a right spirit in me. I'm still deceitful. I'm still slick. I'm still a murderer. I'm an adulterer, a fornicator. Renew a right spirit in me, Lord. That's what the Psalm 51 is all about. Getting back the presence of God in the inner man. See, the wrong spirit will have you so messed up, so weird, so wacky, that you'll walk around this thing all day and know that you got it and just be just as lost. And there's just so much a human can do. I can preach until I can pass out up here preaching. I can turn blue in the face if a black person can turn blue. And you'll still, if you're in covenant with the spirit, go right with that spirit. Just walk on off with it. Like you're a zombie. What's wrong? I'm in covenant with the spirit. I can't break the covenant because I'm in it. I'm in this spirit. And the spirit's in me. That's why you got a hunger and thirst for one thing, righteousness. I want to be like Jesus. I'm making Jesus the only desire of my heart. If you still got idols set up in you, you will idolize yourself into your own death with idols all in your soul. Because those idols are what breed the fantasy and the lies. That's what gets you in the wrong spirit. You made a tabernacle for the wrong spirit in you. Remember, spirits feel images. If you got the image of Christ in you, the Holy Ghost will feel that image. If I got another image in me other than Jesus, then a spirit will feel that image, and I'll walk in that spirit. So my meditations must be just on one individual to be free. I know the truth, which is a person, Jesus, and the truth, Jesus, will make me free. The spirit feels truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. I got to make Jesus my only desire. Jesus is my only meditation. Jesus is who I'm after. Jesus is who my soul seeks after. And everything else must diminish in its importance. And then I'll be able to see where the truth and lies are, who's in, who's out, who's a hypocrite and play acting like they're saved, and who's really saved. If you don't see that, you'll be down here making folks saved that don't have a clue. I've seen more air-headed people come in church and deceive folks who you just knew what they were doing. And they just go right out the deep end, all because the idol in them found a light spirit to walk off with. He said, oh, I see, they're still an idolater. Why? Because they walked right off with the wrong spirit. With no effort. This won't even take effort by the devil. If you're in that spirit, the devil, he just comes and gets his own. Come here. Yes, master. I'm in the spirit. The devil has control over that spirit. He has a right to lead his own flock. The devil's a shepherd too now. He's a father. The devil, Jesus plainly said the devil is a father. He's a shepherd. He's a father. He's a preacher. He's a pastor. He'll anoint you with the spirit. He'll do all of that. The devil is a God who has the same authority in his realm as God does. I can anoint. I can call. I can anoint you. I can give you a spirit. I can raise you up. I can place you in authority. He can do all of that in his kingdom. So what spirit are you in? Are you subjected to the devil's spirit in his kingdom? Are you in outside of his kingdom in the spirit of God walking free from down here? If you want something down here still, believe me, you got the wrong spirit. You're in the wrong spirit and it's going to destroy you. Idols fill up with spirits. You can have all kinds of spirits: pride, lust, anger, discord, mistrust, seduction, fantasy, lying, religion, death, rebellion, fear, rejection. And one of the biggest ones I've ever seen is a ghetto spirit. You can have a ghetto spirit living in a penthouse worth $5 million. What's a ghetto spirit? A ghetto spirit is a spirit that has you nasty from the inside out. In other words, you go to an event where everybody's wearing evening gowns and tuxedos, and you come in a pair of jeans and looking like hell, spewed you out. Because that's a spirit you walk in. Or you can come in the tuxedo and the evening dress, and still you just got a nasty element about you. It's nothing about the ghetto. I'm not talking about the ghetto. Because you got people in the ghetto who don't walk in the ghetto spirit. I'm talking about a spirit. See, when I preach a lot of times, I don't break it down like I just didn't tell you I'm talking about a spirit. So I say something, people get offended by it. Well, I hit that spirit. They said, well, that offends me. I came from the ghetto. Well, why are you offended by it? If you came from the ghetto, and we're talking about a ghetto spirit, and you're not in a ghetto spirit, what difference would it make to you? See, the mind operating in that realm always receives everything that's said personally, because the spirit is the spirit I'm in. You're not offended by anything if you walk with Jesus. A person can accuse you of anything. But I know that's not true for me, because I'm not that. If you're still trying to prove them, I'm not that. I'm not what you said. It's because, hey, something wrong somewhere. Why are you proving to them? You're still locked up on people, trying to prove to them. We have to break free from the wrong spirit. Everything in this Bible is designed to get us out of the wrong spirit. I tell you all the time that fall of Adam and Eve put mankind in a wrong spirit. Jesus coming gets us back to the right spirit. When Jesus becomes the only singular focus in your life, you're still trying to fellowship and listen to folks trying to give you all kinds of inputs to your life, and they directed you and told you this. It's more people receiving all this old stupid ministry from somebody who don't know what a front door is. Well, he told me, or she said that. They don't know what they're talking about. Can't you see that? Why even listen to them? We got to get in the right spirit to get free. Because if we don't, we'll be lost down here. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now, we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.